Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, folks, it's Rick Wilson, and welcome to The Daily Beast's The New Abnormal.
Hi, I'm Molly Jongfast, a left-wing pundit and editor-at-large at The Daily Beast.
I'm also an editor at The Daily Beast, a former Republican political strategist, best-selling author, and full-time troublemaker. We're here to have fun, sharp conversations with some of the smartest people in media, politics, business, and science that help make what's happening in the country and the world clearer.
I'll try to keep Rick to the minimum number of F-bombs and try to keep our kids, pets, and other wildlife sounds from invading our respect.
Good evening, America. It's 12:25 a.m. on Friday morning, and I'm joined tonight by Tim Miller and Molly Jongfast, and we have just seen 4 hours of sweaty, Castro-esque speechmaking that we'll not soon forget. It's a night that has left us all with the conclusion that the only thing this show can be is one long fuck that guy. And somehow, I don't think America will object. So, welcoming Tim Miller to the show tonight.
About damn time.
Tonight, we'll be posing our questions in the form of a fuck that guy. Let's lead off with America's sweetheart, shall we? What did you guys think of Ivanka? First off, I'm just going to make a bitchy fashion remark. Leggings at the White House? Hello? The fuck?
Well, I don't know. You don't know they were leggings. I mean, not that this is like the most important thing to be worrying about, but it was like some kind of black pantsuit.
No, I think they were more leggings. I know
jeggings?
We have
leggings. Could they have been jeggings?
They could have been jeggings.
They could have been
jeggings. I'm wearing jorts right now, so you know.
I mean, I wrote a piece about it today while it was going on, which is up already.
Is it on thedailybeast.com?
It's on thedailybeast.com.
Okay.
I mean, the thing with her that I'm always so impressed by is that she uses many words. All of them are words. Some of them are said. And she has this like amazing McKinsey doublespeak. She went to Chapin and she went to Penn, and she's just very good at like corporate work talk in a way that is like
soporific.
You say a lot. Well, you say a lot, but no actual things. Tonight, she was jubilant and excited, and she said to judge her father on his results.
I know this is supposed to be all fuck that, guys, but I do want to give her one compliment, and that is that she outshone her dad tonight, which I don't think was expected. I was surprised to learn, though, after 3.5 years, that she's the co-president.
Right? Did you notice that setup, the handoff of the baton tonight?
I didn't know that we had co-presidents here. I thought there was only just one. In particular, there was one time where she was like, and the president asked Secretary of Agriculture David Perdue and his daughter, me, to take the lead on. It's like, what? What are you talking about? Right. There's a lot of lies. I mean, she was painting a picture of the president that doesn't exist. But I thought the lie that really stood out to me was when she talked about how much he loves his grandchildren.
I mean, that was the one too, because he had built a model of the White
House.
The
Legos are still there. It's how much? Like, I'll put a nice steak dinner on the fact that he can't name all of her kids. I mean, there's no
absolutely
way.
Not.
There's no way. There's no way. He has a lot of grandchildren.
He's had quite a few families.
But Donnie Jr. has like 15 kids.
Is that right? That's what I'm saying. Who would know? I mean,
the hunting one. Right.
You know, Mitt talks
knows.
About his grandkids a lot. Like certain people, you know, discussing their grandkids as part of their thing. I can't ever recall Donald mentioning a grandchild.
Or we twice have now had Mary Trump on, and she is pretty much like there. I said, well, he really loves Junior, right? And she said, no, I think he thinks they're all idiots, except for Ivanka, who he has this weird thing with.
I learned tonight, somebody tweeted at me, that he didn't want to name Junior Donald because he was worried he'd be a loser.
Too late.
The irony. But you know what's interesting about Junior? I did think tonight, Ivanka is an idiot, and she is absolutely unequivocally the smartest of all of the kids.
That is true, but here's the problem, is that Ivanka's speech was a direct conflict to Junior's speech. Mm-hmm. And Junior is the one that's in touch with the people that are voting for Donald. Like, let's be honest. And so that was very noteworthy that, you know, she was talking about emptying the prisons and Junior was talking about filling them.
Yeah, but Junior speaks fluent dick. And so he's going to be the one that the Fox audience will gravitate to in 24. And they'll say, Donald was robbed. We've got to have our revenge.
But what's interesting about Junior is like all anyone talked about from Junior's speech. And I mean, maybe they're talking about different things in the Gateway Pundit Slack channel. But from the people I know.
Molly, it's the Gateway Pundit Slack Jaw channel.
Exactly. But all the people I know are talking about like what drugs did Junior do before his speech.
I just didn't want to throw in there that I saw a lot of people on Twitter who I don't think have ever done drugs making assessments of what kind of drugs Junior was on. I'll just leave it at that. I thought there was some armchair drug commentary on Twitter that was maybe a little inaccurate.
As someone who grew up in Florida in the 1970s and early 80s, I saw signs.
Well, I'll defer to your expertise.
So our next Fuck That Guy of the Evening is Crazy Eye Dan Scavino, who in the weirdest, most like, please get a restraining order against me before I kill again. That stare was just mortifying. I felt like he was staring at me and like weighing my spleen with his eyes. I'll have that for my supper.
Dan Scavino, this is a real quote. I had to write this down for the podcast. It's the only quote I wrote down for tonight.
You've done more homework than Rick and I combined.
Donald, the president, is a kind and decent man who shows endless kindness to everyone he meets.
That might run contrary to what Miles said.
Well, you know, the endless kindness sharpened the fence spikes so that it goes all the way through their flesh.
Yeah. Gas the immigrants. Burning flesh. Gas on the borders. Where are the alligators on the moat?
Yeah, Scavino was just, he was on my Fuck That Guy list. Not as like one of these plotting, crafty Trump world, you know, skeezy villains, but just as like this scary cult figure. Remember that movie Bob Roberts?
No.
At the end, there's a character that Jack Black plays. This is like fanatic kid following this campaign around, and he's just like staring and staring. I was like, stop looking at me, Dan. It was awful.
Can we just have one more second on Dan Scavino? No one has ever said this in the history of the world, but
you're a groundbreaker. You're a leader.
Yeah, exactly. One more second on Dan Scavino. But I feel like this is an important detail in just how, like, how professional this White House is. He was originally Trump's caddy. Yeah.
And now he's the ambassador to QAnon and the White House Twitter caddy.
I mean, the voice of the president.
And he's...
Yeah. I mean, he's firing and out he's tweets also, like he's making policy.
And he's speaking at the RNC, which is probably not something that is all that common for your president's caddy.
Why do you think Scavino made the cut and not Gobbles Miller?
No, what day of the month is it? It's the 28th?
No, stop.
Steven is in his molting phase. He's in his cocoon right now, and he's going to shed his exoskeleton, and he will emerge Jesus like a Christ. Beautiful butterfly. On Labor Day.
Okay, if Molly got to go back to Scavino, I need to go back to one other thing about Ivanka because that was driving me crazy. I think that fucking, it just, everybody has this person in their life that like doesn't like the president, doesn't like the tweets, think he's an idiot, but like somehow they get convinced that, you know, he really does these one nice things, that they really like Ivanka. And I can just picture this woman with pearls who I know in my life, who lives in North Carolina, who's a swing voter, who was convinced by that bullshit. And I have to admit that it just really, really upset me in a very deep way during her remarks that I do think in a weird way, it was the only thing that might've kind of worked for at least a couple people. No?
I don't know. I feel like this is more Rick's wheelhouse. I mean, to me, the granddaughter of the communists with the Ben Shahn's drawings, like this is completely insane. I would never vote for any of these people. But
here's the characteristic of those swing voters. They are desperately trying to find a reason to stay with him.
Right.
They're terrified. They watch Fox. They're still terrified. They don't like him. They don't like the behavior. They don't like the thing with COVID and the economy. They don't like the racism, but they're desperately terrified and they're looking for anything. So that's like last night. And honestly, the DC press does this, does the same bullshit. Well, they're like, well, everything else is batshit crazy, but Melania read several remarks, which seemed completely sane.
Yeah.
Let's write a 5,000-word think piece on Melania's influence on the White House. And so these swing voters will do the same bullshit. And they will try to convince themselves, well, you know, maybe he'll learn in the second term. Maybe he'll mature and grow into the office. Maybe blah, blah, blah. That's what Ivanka's there for. Is to be that suburban meritocracy and smoothed out ambassador from Trumplandia when we all know that most of them are batshit crazy.
That's exactly the voter I was thinking about, Rick. And that's what pisses me off. Because fuck
No, fuck her. Yeah. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. All right, so fuck swing voters, except ones who might.
I just don't want anybody who's a lying, mendacious scumbag like Ivanka trying to fool them into thinking that her father is not.
Exactly.
I've been given a fuck that guy from the White House and the Trump campaign. They have a fuck that guy. Their fuck that guy this week is the Hatch Act. Because tonight, it was everything but people wearing like jumpsuits with NASCAR logo stickers all over them on the White House lawn. The Trump pimp signs.
Right.
I mean, as a guy who worked for George Herbert Walker Bush, if someone had come to him and say, hey, we're going to put giant campaign signs on the White House lawn and do campaign work here, they would have been out on their ass in a hot millisecond. The dividing line between Trump org and Trump campaign and Trump brand and Trump Inc. and the White House and the campaign, it's zero now. I mean, they are unbelievably shameless. And I know part of the reason they're doing it is just to troll people like us to be pissed about it.
And also just because they're criminals and they don't give a fuck. Can we talk for a minute about the Mark Meadows the next day saying that voters don't really care about the Hatch Act?
Yeah, this is such bullshit. And I was a little mad at Rick in the intro for calling it a Castro-esque performance. Because it's like a D-list Latin American caudillo.
Exactly.
The Paraguay's, you know, caudillo in the 80s. Like, that's what this was. I mean, it was tacky.
Yeah.
Like, they're on the White House lawn in the white chairs and the tacky-ass Trump signs everywhere. I mean, like, Castro at least had a little bit of, you know, ambiance with his
panache.
Yeah, panache. And this is bullshit that people don't care about this. I wrote about this a little bit. Like, this is the Clinton-Lincoln bedroom scandal on steroids. And everybody cared about the Clinton.
Right.
Like, everybody talked about it. Rush talked about it for years. I mean, it dogged Hillary all the way into the Lazio race in 2000. It was an issue. You know, and it wasn't appropriate, by the way. And it did dog them. And they changed it. So this DC conventional wisdom bullshit that like voters don't care about this. Well, no, voters will care about it if people will speak out about it and if reporters take it seriously and write about it. And they're buying into Meadows's own BS. And this is like it was despicable what they did tonight. Like that picture made me want to retch when I first saw it on Twitter. And then the fireworks on the lawn. Like this is our lawn. This is not.
And it was very enabled by that playbook. Thing. I mean, that was not. I mean,
spoiler,
I just think,
playbook.
You know, will voters care? Sorry, am I not supposed to
say that? No, I'm just saying it. Playbook is very much sort of the conventional wisdom. And that this Meadows line, as Tim said, it became the conventional wisdom like, who cares? Whatever. Moving on. You know what voters don't care about? The Arms Export Control Act, which I believe I need to violate now just because voters don't care about it.
There's a lot of things that voters don't care about pretty much anything.
No, they really don't. Yeah. They really don't.
I mean, I know this is not in our theme of fuck that guy, but I saw Kamala's speech during the middle of the day today. Don't ask why I was watching television in the middle of the day. But I thought, like, she really made the case that Democrats sort of were not able to make last week about how COVID is much worse here than anywhere else. And that's because of Donald Trump. And I don't know who saw that speech at 2:00 in the afternoon besides me, but I did think it was a very well-litigated case against Donald Trump.
I saw the tweets about it, and I'm happy that she's out there doing that. We had our Republican Voters Against Trump ad. She was hitting on this. We got this ad running in swing states next week, like how, you know, her job was as a Deputy Assistant Secretary for Threat Prevention, and so they had a pandemic plan. They spent 2 months doing nothing because Donald Trump didn't want his stock market to dip a couple of points, and they had people in there that were trying to stop it, and I do think that this is, you know, a critically important case. case that people need to make. And here's the thing about this week, going back to fuck that guy, fuck these guys for telling a fake and phony history of what happened during the coronavirus. Like some of the media outlets have done an okay job of trying to hold them accountable, but the Democrats, and I'm happy Kamala said it today, and this is what we're doing, I know what Rick's doing, have got to spend the next 3 months reminding people just how bad he screwed this up. Because I'll tell you, in these focus groups, a lot of people want to give him a pass on this, you know, and Elizabeth's inside story tells the real truth on this. And I'm happy Kamala was saying that. But, you know, this whole convention was like, you know, oh, the China virus. And now I'm getting an amazing vaccine, like the yada, yada, yada over like you know, half the year.
Right. That is amazing.
The idea that the witness is coming out of the administration now, from Miles to her, all these folks that are coming out and saying this, I want them all to speak. But it is going to take a lot of work to get that message out. There are people out there who will still say things like, well, you know, he did the best he could. And he gets a participation trophy.
Yeah, and it's who could have predicted it? It was bad everywhere. He keeps telling me the case death rate is good. Right. I don't know what the case death rate is. Oh, it's good because we have the most cases in the world by a million X. Oh, got it. And you hear it frequently in the focus groups.
It's definitely one of those things we got to just keep pounding and pounding and pounding on going forward.
But it is also, it's interesting to me that they can't thread the needle on like less people dead everywhere else. What is different? That they're not putting that together is why I don't work in focus groups. Because I would be like, I don't understand how you can be. I mean, I know there's just, these people are just, all of Trump is like this weird emotional reaction that it has nothing to do with actual real stuff.
Well, yeah.
I think hopefully, you know, the numbers continue to change. I do think that what I've noticed in our groups, that the mindset on this has changed over the last 3 months. I mean, I think back in May, pretty much everybody in the groups was like, you can't blame him. What is he going to do? And now, you know, at least it's mixed. And I think that probably by the time we get to early voting, we're going to have worse deaths per capita than every country in Europe, besides maybe Belgium. And so hopefully through our groups and other groups with some ads, we can be like, hey, you know, second worst. I don't know how much what you can say to that, but there definitely is a lot of self-delusion out there on that.
Second place is first loser, Donald.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's something I've really been needing to get off of my chest lately, which is that everyone and their mother should listen to the Andre 3000 album because it lifts my spirits on a regular basis, 1000%. We all carry around different problems, big and small, and let's be honest, when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. That's where therapy comes in. It's like this safe space where you can unload all those burdens and start figuring out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
Therapy can make a difference. I know this from firsthand experience, and it's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's for anyone who wants to improve their mental well-being. Therapy can help you learn coping skills. It can teach you how to set better boundaries, and it can make you be a better version of yourself.
If you're considering therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, which means it's convenient, flexible, and fits into your schedule seamlessly. Plus, getting started is as easy as filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. So why wait? Take that first step towards a happier, healthier you with BetterHelp.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/thenewabnormal today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/thenewabnormal.
The New Abnormal is going to release a limited run series of bonus interviews over the next few weeks. Starting in August, we'll release a new one each Sunday. But listen carefully. Only Beast Inside members will have access to these. So head over to newabnormal.thedailybeast.com to join now. Your Beast Inside membership helps support the great reporting at The Beast and podcasts like The New Abnormal. Thanks. Let me say two things. First off, as we all know, I am a former Rudy guy, and the arc of the tragic collapse of Rudy Giuliani into from crusading prosecutor to crusading mayor to 9/11 to the guy he is now, there has never been a more perfect exemplar of everything Trump touches dies. Because that speech tonight, it was at one point everything but the N-word when he was going and talking, you know, they're coming for you. You know, to your suburbs, these black lives matter.
The weird part about that is that he had a brief at the very beginning, he had like one or two sentences that he was like, and George Floyd died and it was terrible. And then we had this brief moment where we had a chance for everybody to come together. And I was like, when was that?
Right.
I was like, when did the president? I was like, wasn't he tweeting about looters in like 2 hours after George Floyd died?
And then he was like, radical leftist Democrats wanted to. Yeah. I'm sorry, none of Rudy's speech made as big an impression on me as Rudy sitting there with whatever girlfriend or wife is and sweating profusely.
Now, but remember, now in D.C.
Whiskey stress.
Right now.
Nobody else is like wringing out their shirt. Okay, you're sitting there. He's got like a
Wilbur. No. Wilbur Ross. That expression of Wilbur Ross's face was, "I see the light now. I will go toward it. I will leave. I will shuffle off this mortal coil."
Can you imagine though, if you're Wilbur Ross's wife? Okay, he's 8,000 years old. He recently got out of the hospital. He's had everything wrong with him in the world, and you're going to take him to a super spreader event outside with no mask. So basically, she's ready to get the money, right? That's what's happening here.
I mean, his case fatality rate has got to be pretty high after that event.
The last big event like that killed Herman Cain.
There were 1,500 people there tonight from what I read.
Well, they wanted 1,500, but there were like 1,200. They had to move out some chairs. My quick Rudy fuck that guy is this. He literally said these words. Trump's disciplined work ethic.
Oh, fuck that guy. A disciplined work ethic. My God. All right, folks, let's get on to the big fuck that guy of the week, the one who deserves it the most, the apotheosis of shitty presidents, Donald John Trump. Molly, what is your fuck that guy for tonight's speech?
Wait, what part?
Yeah, what's
of
your
it?
Fuck that guy part? What?
All 70 minutes of it were infinitely. Actually, I knew because I was at a CPAC speech where he spoke for 3.5 hours that he did this one speech as the longest speech he's ever given, and I was there.
But wasn't some of that like riffing and improv?
Well, that's what all of his speeches, even on this one, he started talking about the house. It's the people's house. It's gorgeous. I like to think of it as a home. He always does some amount of riffing, which is why that speech was 70 minutes and not 25 minutes. I don't know, the sheer stupidity and then him getting sweatier and sweatier and the orange makeup. I mean, Tim probably has something more insightful to say.
Well, the fuck that guy is obviously for making me watch for so long. I mean, it literally went on forever. we don't need to belabor that point, I guess. But, I thought it was interesting how he didn't really seem into it.
You know?
He didn't seem to have his heart in it. Like usual, you know, he seems to enjoy his ad-libs. Like, he, like, enjoyed his ad-lib when he, like, made fun of Joe Biden for being a pedophile or kind of, like, tried to do a winky QAnon Joe Biden's a pedophile joke. Enjoyed it when he was, like, joking talking about how he liked his old life better. And like, he enjoyed it when he like got to turn around at the White House that he was despicably standing in front of and be like, I live in there now. I get to rub it in.
Yeah.
Most of the text of the speech, like the whole illegal immigrant section, which you would think would be this guy's bread and butter by now. I mean, he was stumbling over the lines and slurring them. Mm-hmm. He wasn't landing the hit lines. Speech was very much kind of a State of the Union-esque, like, rote, you know, I'm going to try to touch all these bases. You know, I don't know. Last week, Joe Biden gave his speech and it was forceful and passionate. And the whole take from all the, you know, MAGA guys afterwards was, how hard is it to read a teleprompter? Well, pretty fucking hard for Donald tonight.
Pretty hard.
I don't know.
You know, by the end of it, he was leaning very heavily on podium. But, you know, your point, Tim, is...
But by the end of it, we were leaning very heavily on the podium. I mean, not to...
But, you know, Tim, your point is right, though. There was a low-energy speech, if I may use a phrase you and I are familiar with.
That's mean.
Yeah.
Okay, that's triggering.
It was very low energy speech. He was not into it. You're correct. You know, the truth with Donald Trump is always in the asides. When he's reading a speech on prompter, you know he always wants to like look off and make a dick joke or look off and say something that he thinks is going to, you know, make everybody, you know, pay attention. But he stayed on prompter tonight and ground his way through it. But it was the guy was working at it. It was not a fun speech for him. It also, by the way, a brief mini fuck that guy for the White House speechwriters. If you're going to have 16 people write a fucking speech, have one person look at it at the end and conform it so it sounds like one person wrote the fucking speech, so that it sounds like one person's reading the speech.
Too complicated. No one has time for that. There's golf and tweeting. But I was going to say, the thing that I'm always impressed with Trump is that he has a lot of trouble reading.
Yes.
You don't say.
But I mean, when he gets up there, he's never practiced the speech because that's not, you know, his thing. And then he just can't, he sort of stumbles. And then he also finds reading very boring. So, I mean, every speech where he's not saying crazy shit is him being totally bored by whatever they're making him read.
My favorite misread of tonight was, we have pioneered the fatality.
Yes, we have. Fuck that guy.
I personally am extremely worried about people getting COVID from this. Like, it is a pandemic. Like, just because you're not interested in it doesn't mean that these people won't go home and spread this to their... I mean, don't you think there's a chance that this could be part of, like, a much larger public health disaster?
Well, I mean, he is the head of the largest public health disaster in history, but this could be certainly... Yeah, there could be some ancillary victims from this tonight because they were all sitting cheek by jowl sweating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm not worried about that, but I'm more worried about something else. And I'm hoping that Rick can talk me off the ledge here because maybe I just have PTSD. But as much of just a kind of rollicking, ridiculous shit show that all was for 4 days, I do worry about those voters Rick was talking about who are looking for an excuse to like Trump. And I worry that we see a little bit of a bump from him because there is this group of voters who didn't like him, held their nose and voted for him. And for like 5 months now, he's just reminded them why they hate him. The tweets and the press conferences in Lafayette Square and Psycho Morning Joe. And like for 4 days, it was pretty gross for all of us, but he kind of reminded them why they liked him, maybe. I'm a little worried. I'm more worried about that than the COVID super spreader.
Let me talk you off the cliff.
Okay, thank you.
Donald Trump for 4 days has had the shock collar on him. They have been keeping him as much in the box as they can. They've convinced him this is the big show that'll turn the numbers. But we all know something about Donald Trump. After he's been disciplined and held down by his staff for a couple of days on any item, he has an equal and opposite reaction and goes fucking nuts. And so he's going to tweet out some crazy shit tomorrow about that kid in Kenosha or something because he wants to go have fun now. And he's got no discipline whatsoever. So we'll be back to Crazy Donald in a matter of minutes. And whatever's happening in my role as the shitty Trump anthropologist, he is bored and restless and he will start talking shit because he does it every time. We haven't talked about this yet, but the fact that they're down, they've pulled their ads down for the second time in a month, I suspect we're about to see a whole shit ton of race war ads because whatever wasn't working before, they pulled everything down. I think they're going to reset and go full on race war.
And on that point, I know I'm not the host of the show, but I've only been invited on once and I've had two bourbons and I'm just ending with my fuck that guy.
Yep.
Of everybody who is...
Yes, we're very dressed up.
My fuck that guy is everybody that is defending that 17-year-old asshole with the long gun who showed up as a junior cop.
Jesus.
And everybody who is defending the cop that unloaded his clip into the back of Jacob Blake. I thought I could not be astonished anymore, but the amount of even like the quasi-normal Trumpers, like on the more normal end of the spectrum, are all in on this idea that like Jacob Blake might have had a knife in the floorboard of his car. That makes it okay to unload 7 shots into his back with his kids looking on. I mean, it's fucking insane. And it's like the widespread accepted view in conservative media the last 2 days. And so anyway, I think that that's a preamble to what's coming. And I think that you're exactly right about where the ads are going, Rick, and fuck all those guys.
But I do think that that's where it's coming, for sure. I mean, I think we see that. I think the police, they didn't think that police ad was terrifying enough.
Well, some breaking good news on this front. I just peeked down at my Twitter and Jim Acosta said a senior White House official told him that everybody's going to catch this thing eventually. I wish I was shitting you. Yeah.
On that note, we'll wrap up this episode of The New Abnormal from The Daily Beast. In future episodes, we'll be talking with smart folks from The Daily Beast and beyond, from media, culture, politics, and science, who will help us understand what's happening to our country and the world.
We hope you'll subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app and share the show on social media. We're just getting started and don't want you to miss an episode. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, I'm Molly Jongfest and he's the Rick Wilson. Thanks so much for listening and we'll see you again on the next episode.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run FutureTools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of Lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.